So last week, kicked off the direction of our fast, and the verse that we're using as our theme through the fast is Joshua chapter 3, verse 5. It says, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do great things among you. How many of you want to see the Lord do some great things in your life? You need God to do some great things in your family, and I pray for it, man. I want God to do some awesome things in your life, and I don't think we just pray for it, but I think there's a consecration for it. That's the need for change, the need for God to come and become the center of our lives. And so last week, we introduced a fasting focus for each week. And last week, our fasting focus was faith. And this week, though, our fasting focus is going to be family. And so there's a handout that we put inside of all of your worship guides just to kind of help you, kind of steer you, help you navigate through some ideas of what you can do. But the idea is this, is to fast from some things that keep you from spending some time with your family. Somebody say, oh my. Yeah, I know. Taking some time to be intentional with your family. And so we have some ideas that are listed on there just to kind of help you with that, because some people are like, okay, we would sit there and not know what to do, and why would we wind up turning the TV on? We just sit there, eat popcorn, watch TV, and call it family time. And I think we can take it a step further, amen. And so one of the ideas I had, and this verse has meant a lot to my family growing up, is Joshua 24:15. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. One of the ideas that I just want to present to you is maybe share that verse with your family and ask them, what do you believe it means to serve the Lord? And just have a discussion about that. Maybe one of the ideas you can do is write down some spiritual goals for your family. Have a time where you're praying for each other. You say, hey, what about me? I'm single. I don't know what to do. Maybe there's some extended family you haven't talked to in a while. Maybe give them a call. Just check on them. Maybe send out a text and just say, hey, I want to pray for you. How can I be praying for you? And that time that you would usually spend doing those other things, dedicate that time to spending some time in prayer for them. How do you believe that could be like, that could change your life as much as it could change theirs? You know what I'm saying? And so we're just trying to be super intentional with the fast and not just go on a diet plan. Amen. And I just try to shed a few of last year's pounds, but really, really add some spiritual stuff to our life, some content, some presence of God to our life. And I just want to encourage you to use this as an idea, whatever you're fasting, I pray you'll continue it on. But listen, if you maybe you had a rough week and you intended to start out, maybe you've had some struggles, it's okay. Let's jump back on today. Am I right? Let's go ahead and renew the commitment and say, today I'm going to jump back into our time of prayer and fasting. Be super intentional about it, and I believe that it's going to really, really affect your life. Amen. So last week, one of the things that we did that I thought was powerful was we had the cross up here in the front, and we did just a church-wide call to repentance, and just seeing people respond. I don't know if you can see Cynthia up here on the front row. She's working in children's ministry today. But, I mean, she's just crying her face off just because everyone just kept responding, and then they would stop and hug her. She was just so moved, and it was such a powerful thing to see you responding in the vulnerability. And so we have this call to repentance, to follow God's ways instead of living our own. It was just beautiful and powerful. But today, I want to take it a step further, amen, because I believe in taking steps. And I want to go to the book of Acts chapter 3, verse 19. We'll read the scripture, we'll pray, and we'll let JP go have a seat. But this verse of scripture, I think, just follows up last week so powerfully. It says, now repent of your sins and turn to God. That's where it's like, God, I know that I've done wrong, and I'm coming to you and I'm admitting it. I was wrong, and I'm sorry. My intention now is to follow you with all my heart. So it says, now repent of your sins and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped away, and then times of refreshment will come from the presence of the Lord, and he will again send you Jesus, your appointed Messiah. Come on, refreshment. Isn't that an awesome word, refreshment? So I want to talk a little bit about that today. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for our time that we have together. And Lord, I'm praying that as we share this word today, that it's not just going to be information, but Father, it's going to be life-changing. Lord, I pray that you will amplify this message, that you will cause it, Father, to stick and produce fruit in our lives. And Lord, I ask for your help today to communicate. Help me, Lord, today to say it in the way that you want it said, so that it can affect every person here. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. Awesome. I love verses like this because it's kind of like repent, which sounds so strong. Am I right? Y'all want to try it? Look at your neighbor and tell them to repent. Just tell them. Just try it out for a second. I see, like, spouses like, I ain't doing that. because it says, repent. And then it follows it up. It's kind of like what happens afterwards. And times of refreshing will come from the Lord. And so it's like one of those verses that you want to highlight in your Bible. You know, some people, they're like, you can't write your Bible. It's sacred. Listen, what's written is sacred, not the book itself. That's just paper and ink, okay? But what was written is so sacred. And so you read a verse like that, and it says, repent. And times of refreshing. This is what I know, is that we need refreshing. Because we're carrying a load. We're carrying a load, watch this, that we were not meant to carry. Think about what was the response from last week. These were things that we were carrying in our lives, sin that we were carrying in our lives that we were never, ever meant to carry. That's why when you wrote it down and you dropped it at the bottom of that cross, there was a sense of relief that came over you because you finally let down the heavy burden and Jesus picked it up for you. And for those moments, it was just this feeling of refreshing. You felt so much better because you took a step that you needed to take, but yet we become so used to carrying this weight, and that weight includes all of our sin, it includes all of our shame. And what happens is this, is it weighs down on our soul. But we have to remember that this is what Jesus went to the cross for. He went to the cross for our freedom. And this is what I realized about sin. And if I were taking notes today, I would write this down. Sin turns us into people we were not meant to be. I've been just hanging on to this all week. Sin turns us into people that we were not meant to be. Some of you are so angry. And what caused that? It wasn't that person. It's the sin that is in our life. It's the sin that's in our family. And it's our reaction to carrying the weight of it. And you don't even want to be mad. In fact, you're like, why are you so mad? You're like, I don't know. Just leave me alone right now. Like, what's wrong with you? It's just the weight of sin is so heavy on our... Why are you in that mood? It's the weight of sin. And so sin turns us into people we were never meant to be. It occupies our mind and our conscience, and it causes the focus of our lives to be on our failures and our pain, and our response is to try to mask it, to try to cover it up. But God came to set us free from it because he's got a better life that we were meant to live. Can I hear an amen? This is the effect of sin. It makes it very difficult to have hope. It makes it difficult to dream. It makes it difficult to take steps of faith. And part of consecrating ourselves is cleaning out the sin in our lives. And this is what happens when we repent. Repent is to make a decision to change directions. It's showing sorrow for wrongdoing. We were having this discussion at my house this week, just sitting with the family, and we were talking with our kids about what repentance is. And my daughter, she always likes to pray for people that are like criminals. I don't know why, but it's beautiful, really. But she always wanted it. And so she's like, Lord, I want to pray for the shooters and the robbers. And the people in prison is beautiful. I mean, it's so innocent and it's awesome. And so we were talking about repentance. And this is what she said. Well, I know some people that need to turn the blinker on and turn right on around. It was just so awesome. It's like this kid, she's 9 years old and got some perspective on repentance. Like she realizes somebody needs to turn their lives around. And really when we're repentant, we're saying, God, I am ready for change. Let's go back to the text for our fast. Change. Consecrate yourselves. For tomorrow, the Lord will do amazing things among you. And just what if the way that you've been living your life has been taking you away from the awesome things that God has for you and the awesome things that he wants to do in our lives. But yet we're so intent on this way that we're living. And there's this call to repent. There's this call to change. And when we realize it and turn around, we begin to see the hope and the possibilities of all that God wanted to do in us. And that's when we begin to see the potential of who we really can be in him, instead of our reaction to our past, our reaction to all the sin that's going on in our lives. And that's why I appreciate verses like this. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive our sins. Come on, that means I'm not even thinking about it. This is what I'm going to do. You start confessing it, God says, I start forgiving it. Isn't that incredible that God is ready and willing to forgive every sin that you have in your life? He's ready. He's willing to do it when we confess. So watch this. Let's take another step forward with this, because in Acts 2, verse 38, it says, each of you must repent of your sins and turn to God Okay? This is God. I'm coming before you, laying it all before you. And he says, and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. We're planning baptism next month. And so I hope at the end of this fast, if you haven't been water baptized yet, you say, I'm ready to go public with my faith. Each of you must repent of your sins, turn to God, and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Say, yep. And then watch this. Then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The gift of the Holy Spirit. I love when verses say words like then, because that means God's not finished. See, sometimes it's like, whew, if God only forgives me of my sin, he's done a lot. And I want you to know there's a whole lot more to God than just helping you make it. He wants you to thrive. He wants you to live out this incredible plan that he has for your life. Do you believe that this morning? Come on, do you believe that this morning? And so he promised us the Holy Spirit. Now let me give you the context of this verse here to set you up so you understand. This guy named Peter, he's one of the most known disciples. He's preaching his first sermon and he says, repent and be baptized. Repent, okay? So we're talking about this word consecrate. Consecration of the priests. In the Old Testament, can I go a little technical with you tonight? Can I take you on a little drive and show you some things before we get to it? Okay. The consecration of the priests in the Old Testament, one of the things they had to do was there had to be a washing. They had to wash themselves. And I'm not just talking about washing their hands because they were about to eat. But before they would minister before the Lord, before the people, there was this whole cleansing that they had to go through that lasted for days and days and days before they would minister before the Lord. Because God's presence is just so holy and so powerful. So they had to make sure that they were clean. And so they had to make sure that they were, that there was a change. Meaning, I've been living this way, but I can't go into God's presence dirty. I got to get this thing clean. And so they would go through all the rites of consecration, and then they would wash, and I began to think, wait, this is a picture of repenting. This is a picture of water baptism. Like, it's kind of like God was setting up how this works, even in the Old Testament, and he was trying to get our attention to help us to see there's got to be some change in their life, and there's got to be a washing away of some old things, and then after it's washed away, what now? Like, I feel like that's a real question. What now? What comes after? Okay, Lord, I'm forgiven of my sins. I wrote the bad stuff on the paper, brought it to the cross, asked you to forgive me. I confess you're faithful and just to forgive me. I feel like a new person. Now what? Is that it? Now do we just, like, hunker down and hope we make it to heaven? Or is there more? I want you to know there's more. And this is what Peter was trying to tell us. He said, look, this is what I feel like he's saying. Hey, your soul has been cleaned out. It's cleansed. You've emptied the trash out of your life. But what's happening next? So watch this. This verse in Matthew chapter 12. I got a little bit of scripture today, and I just want to take you on a little trip, okay? And we're going to go from verse to verse because we're going somewhere with this. Watch this. And in Matthew 12, verse 43, it says, when an evil spirit leaves a person, look at your neighbor and say, what's wrong with you? Come on now. Let's mess with him a little bit. What's wrong with you? Some of y'all are like, I ain't doing it. When an evil spirit leaves a person, it goes into the desert seeking rest, but finding none. Then it says, I will return to the person I came from. So it returns and finds its former home empty, swept, and in order. It comes back and finds a clean house. Whereas before it was a wreck, and now that it's gone, the house has been cleaned. So it comes back to see what's going on. So watch this, and I'm not trying to scare you because we're going to do something with this today. Then the spirit finds seven other spirits more evil than itself, and they all enter the person and live there. And so that person is worse off than before. That will be the experience of this evil generation. That sounds almost like hellfire and brimstone, am I right? Some of you are unsure how you want to receive this verse today. When I said evil spirit, half of you are like, I'm out. Okay? But there are evil spirits. In fact, there are evil spirits that are at work in our families. I'm not talking about the Halloween stuff. I mean, if you want to go there, you can. But I'm talking about there are influences that are not from God, that are influencing people to do some things that are pretty ridiculous, am I right? Tempting us to sin, tempting us to do things. And so it's kind of like I have acknowledged that there is something that has influenced me. I'm repenting of my sins. I'm getting it clean. But this is what happens. A lot of people are sorry for their sins. And that's it. they miss that there is so much more that God has for us than just forgiving us. And so this verse gives us a picture of how this works, because a lot of times we get clean and we just leave it alone. Whew, I'm glad that's over. But we don't fill our lives with anything else, and because our lives aren't filled with anything else, it leaves room for the same old to come right back in. Only this time it's harder to deal with than it was before, because now you've got the guilt of saying things like, I ain't never going to do that again. And now you find yourself right back in the position that you were before, saying, I never thought I'd be doing this again, but here we are. I guess this is just how my life is supposed to go. But what if, when we lay down all this stuff and poured out our heart asking God to forgive us, what if we filled the house with something that was powerful? What if we put something in the house that is more powerful than the sins of our past? Come on, somebody. What if something is in the house that is stronger than the generational stuff that's been in our families for years and years? I know everybody in the family was divorced, but I got something in me that is greater than the power of a divorce. Amen? Are you grabbing this today? What if I put something in my life on the inside, not just outside stuff that looks good, another Jesus bumper sticker, another WWJD bracelet, like all this stuff. What if I did all of that? It doesn't matter. What if you got something on inside of you that is stronger than all the crazy stuff that's going on in the world around us? What if? Just want to throw that out there. What if? So our lives swept clean and empty when we ask God for forgiveness. So we don't fill it with something. Our tendencies, listen to that. Our tendencies, our boredom, our idleness, and you can take it, spelling it both ways. Idle, I'm not doing nothing, or idle, the thing that I always worshiped. Our idleness will take us right back to the things that we needed God to forgive us of. So when we read Acts 2, verse 38, it says, repent, be baptized, you'll receive the Holy Spirit. Remember, repent, consecrate. Consecrate means make holy. You ready for bomb-dropping revelation? This is huge. The Holy Spirit is a spirit of holiness. Oh my goodness. I thought we would have such a better reaction than that. Come on. I mean, I just thought that this place was going to come unglued when I said that. I just felt that in my spirit this week when we were preparing, but I got that. Some of you were laughing. The Holy Spirit is a spirit of holiness, the very spirit of God. So what if all these spirits that have been influencing, tempting all this stuff in my life, I allow the Spirit of God to overcome them. Now I have a new influence driving me. Come on, somebody. Yeah. See, now we got to change. Come on. I feel like you're jumping on board now. Because if we're going to live the life that God intended for us, we can't do it on our own. We will forever live our lives trying to clean up the past. And we will never embrace the present, and we'll never look forward to the future. I need you to hear that. When we're trying to do it on our own, most of the time, and I don't want to make this a rule because I know, but listen to me, most of the time we're trying to do it on our own, we live our lives constantly trying to clean up our past, and we can't be present in the moment, and we can't dream about the future that God has for us. But when the Holy Spirit becomes the influence that helps us to overcome these temptations. And please feel free to read up on the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 2 is a great experience about the Holy Spirit. We're about to read a couple verses. But what I see in Acts chapter 2, when the Holy Spirit fell upon the people, they begin to dream dreams and they begin to see visions. I'm not talking about like spooky stuff. I'm talking about, I have a vision for my family now. I have a vision for my life. I'm dreaming for the next generation instead of trying to fix up what happened in the last generation. You see what I'm saying? It's an awareness that, wait a minute, God is on the scene and I don't have to maintain my brokenness anymore because God came and provided a way for me to walk in healing. Thank you. That one person that clapped.
Appreciate that.
So when it comes to the Holy Spirit, this is the most forgotten person of God. Talk about Jesus all day. Talk about God all day. We get around people, we change it to talk about Christ. Because Jesus' name is pretty powerful and we don't want to intimidate anybody. It's Christ. It's cleaner. But you don't hear a lot of people talking about the Holy Spirit. But yet the Holy Spirit is so imperative to the walk that we have with Jesus, to this relationship that we have with him. So watch this. Let's break it down. All right, I want to teach you today because God, he's a triune being. I know you're like, okay, where are we at here? You ever heard of the word Trinity before?
Yeah.
It's a real word, and it's a word that's used to describe God. It's three parts, one person, and some of y'all are like, mind blown. Okay. But watch this. We're made in the image of God. You and I were made in God's image. So before we complicate this and pull a theologian in on the scenes, let's look at the obvious first. Okay? When you look at the obvious, if we're made in the image of God, we have flesh. This is our bodies. This is what we see. All right? And so we can see our skin, our hair. We can see our fingers and our feet. So we have this body. That's our flesh. But we also have a mind. You know? Like, you have a mind. You have a will. And some of you, you're raising kids right now, and you're like, yes, they do have a will. And we're trying to train them to do the will of God and the will of us. And they're strong-willed. And some of y'all forgot you were strong-willed when you were a kid. But then you also have a spirit. And this is the part we don't visit a whole lot, because this is the part that we don't see. But you do have a spirit. There's something about you. When you walk in a room, you affect it. And it could be great, or it could be interesting, or it could be... So watch this, this Trinity word. Because I know, I've seen so many people just argue this thing down. And I'm not trying to argue, I'm just trying to show you something to help you see a bigger picture of God. You got God the Father, you got Jesus the Son, and then you have the Holy Spirit. So if you understand the parts of God and how they work, I think it makes this thing make a little more sense, because God wills it, okay? God has a will. He's the mind. He understands everything and how it needs to work. So there's God willing it. Then there's Jesus, who is God in the flesh, who speaks it. And then there's the Holy Spirit that makes it all work. You say, how do you know that? Well, go back to Genesis 1. You'll see that it says, and we. God's using it. It's these words that use it. And we. It's not just saying me. It's saying we. And so you read it, you hear, you see the mind of God. You hear the word of God. And you see the Holy Spirit ministering over all the earth to make what God said begin to happen. Are you grabbing this today? And so watch this. What if we just stop at Jesus? And I know that some people are just like, give me the package deal. I want the 3-in-1 package, and I don't want to break it down. But listen, if you don't break it down, you don't see it for all that it's worth. Because you just feel good because you got a combo. I know people that go to Chick-fil-A, Christian Chicken, they're closed today, so we're not promoting it. But they like the waffle fries. So they upsized the waffle fries. You know what I'm talking about. The little children trade in the toy for the ice cream. And half of you are eating it. Robbers. Ella Pearl's praying for you. There's parts of it that you really, really like. And I think sometimes that's how it is with God. There's parts of him that we really, really like. Some people just really, really like the God part. It's like saying this about this person, like about a person. Man, I love their house. I don't like them. I like their car. I like that dress she's wearing. But boy, her. Somebody needs to invite her to eat. You know what I'm saying? Like, we like to pick parts. One of the best examples I heard about the Holy Spirit, Pastor Robert Morris uses this example, Gateway Church in Texas. He said, the Holy Spirit's a comforter, and he uses the example of, you know, the comforter on their bed. They're never able to use it because it's so pretty. And so you got to fold it off and put it to the side. I don't understand that either, because we pay a lot for comforters, and it gets cold at the house sometimes. But the Holy Spirit often is the one that's pushed to the side, but Jesus told us that the Holy Spirit would be our helper. And I know this, I've encountered a lot of people through the years of ministry that came and said, I need help. I need help. And they feel like they don't have help. And so I think when it comes to the Holy Spirit, it's just, I didn't know. I think that's what it is. I just didn't know. And that's why I want to teach you about the Holy Spirit, so that you'll know, because God has the help that we need to live the life that he intended for us. Amen? So let's look at what Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 16. This is Jesus talking. So you better give him your full attention. John 14, verse 16, it says, "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit." Notice what it says there. He is the Holy Spirit. Not it is a Holy Spirit, but he is the Holy Spirit who leads into all the truth. The world cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him and doesn't recognize him, but you know him because he lives with you now, and later he will be in you. He's with you, but he wants to be in you. This is so huge because we need an inner influence, not just an outside. It's great to come to these services, man, today. You can sense the Spirit of God. And most of you this morning are like, "That's it. I'm living for Jesus the rest of my life. I'm repenting of every sin. I'm going on a mission trip, and we're going to save the world for Jesus." And then, like, after lunch, just because one of your kids dropped a nugget on the floor, you have lost your mind, and you're right back in places you hadn't been in 10 years. One nugget took you right back. Some of you are going to remember that today. You'd be like, man. John 14, verse 26, it says, "But when the Father sends the Advocate as my representative, that is the Holy Spirit, he will teach you everything and will remind you of everything I have told you." This is sounding really good. This is sounding like exactly what we needed. But yet, we don't look at it that way because maybe of some cultural stereotypes when it comes to the Holy Spirit. Few televangelists that were doing some things, maybe some churches in town that had some expressions that were a little bit more charismatic than what we're comfortable with. And so when it comes to the Holy Spirit, it's like, whoa, because some people call him the Holy Ghost, and so it's a double whoa. Let me back off of that, and we're going to stick with Jesus and leave the Spirit alone. But I feel like we need to talk about the Holy Spirit because he is what we need. Amen? So it's important to know this, that the Holy Spirit isn't just a force. He is literally God's Spirit. Just like you have a spirit, this is God's Spirit, and he wants to live in you. Don't you know, this is what it says, Paul tells this in the New Testament, don't you know that you yourselves, you are the temple, the house of the Holy Spirit. In other words, you were created for God's presence, for God's Spirit to live in you. That's what you were created for. And what if we're filling our lives with all these other things and we never allow the Holy Spirit to come and fill our lives? And so when it comes to fasting, the reality is I can't just think about fasting from food. I have to think about the things that I have been constantly feeding on, trying to find comfort. And listen, comfort food isn't just something that Paula Deen is cooking. Come on, somebody. There's a lot of comfort food that we're eating with social media. There's a lot of comfort food that we're eating that comes in the form of media. But we don't like talking about it because some old school preacher said that one time and told people, don't watch rated R movies. And then Mel Gibson made The Passion of the Christ rated R, and youth group kids couldn't go see it. Come on. Get fired up in here, man. JP was playing. So last week, we said this. We're not just stopping something during the fast. We want God to start something. We're not just emptying out our lives of all the junk. We want God to fill our lives with the new. If you watch the midweek motivation, and some of you are like, "Fast and social media pastor, don't cause me to stumble." We talked about, "Behold, I do a new thing." Remember? Isaiah 43, love that stuff. But then it starts talking about how he does it. And he clears things. He starts clearing some things out of our lives. And when there's clarity in our lives, that's where there's creativity to start something new. Are you grabbing this today? He clears some things out so he can create something new. And he starts where? Right here. Creating me a new heart, oh God, and renew. Watch this. What kind of spirit? A right spirit. A righteous spirit. A Holy Spirit in me. It's the reality of God's power living in us. So let's break it down today. Because I believe God wants to fill us with his Holy Spirit, okay? So why do we need the Holy Spirit? Why do we need the Holy Spirit? I mean, Pastor Wade, we got saved. I got saved. 23 years ago, I walked the aisle. Big church on Sunday morning. You did it at the youth camp when your parents wasn't there. That's the kind of stuff. Great if you walk the aisle. But what about living the walk? Living the life.
Come on, somebody.
I think it's not just getting saved. I think it's following Jesus. Amen? And I know that's hard. Because when you grow up in a church culture that it's all about getting saved, it's almost like one and done. Saved. Good. Heaven. But what about following Jesus every day? What about living with purpose? What about living with power? What about overcoming some things in your life instead of just repenting over them a million times? You know what I'm saying? Like, what if we really walked in God's power? We can thrive as families. We can thrive as individuals. We can thrive as a church. So let's talk about this. Why do I need the Holy Spirit? Number one, He's our helper. He is our helper. Let's just make it obvious. I need the Holy Spirit because I need help. And I can't be too prideful to admit it. I need help. And so the Holy Spirit is our helper that teaches us and reminds us not just about what God says in the Bible, but He reminds us of God's thoughts towards us. He reminds us of who we are in Christ when we don't feel like we're a whole lot. Are you grabbing this today? This is so important because there are days where we're feeling defeated and discouraged and overwhelmed. And we don't know if we can do this anymore. And a lot of times because of our defeat, this mindset of defeat, it's like, well, if it's like this, I might as well just give up. And we give up and lean right back into our old lifestyle. We lean right back into our old sin. But what if the Holy Spirit was right there saying, hold on, that's not who you are. You're a child of God. And God has saved your life. And He has put purpose in your life. Now you've got something to motivate you to face this stuff in your life and carry out the plans of God instead of just saying, I'll throw in the towel and I quit. We need the Holy Spirit to be our helper. He helps us to learn about God. He helps us to, the things that we're reading in the Bible, He makes it come alive so that we're able to see the truths of the Word of God and not just stories in the Bible. This is what the Holy Spirit does. And it's so important that we understand this, or else our Christian walk can become very bland. And it can look more like a book than a life. Come on, somebody. Watch this. No problem with books, by the way. You need to read because you need to learn. But the last time I checked, books were written in black and white. And most people live in a world that is just black and white. And it's affecting our world. But God came and He put some color in this thing. And He makes it come alive. And that's what the Holy Spirit does. You might be reading it in your Bible and it's in black and white. But the Holy Spirit illuminates it and makes it come alive. And you're able to apply it to all these different areas. And you're realizing, God, You're good. That verse, I needed that. Where has this been all my life? It was right there. You probably read it 1,000 times, but in that season, that's exactly what you needed, and the helper helped you see it. That's the Holy Spirit. Didn't God do it? Didn't God realize what we needed? He knew it. So He sends the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit reminds us of what Jesus teaches. It reminds us of who we are in Christ. Watch this. He is our counselor. Counselor. Gives us wisdom. Gives us understanding. That's why it says, if any of you lack wisdom, ask. Because the ask is an invitation for the Holy Spirit to step into your life. That's why He said ask, because God's like, when you're asking, you're giving Me a platform to work in your life. Ask for wisdom. He convicts us of our sins to lead us back to God. Notice I didn't say He condemns you and makes you feel like trash. But He convicts you, helps you see what's wrong, reminds you of who you are in Christ so that you will turn right back to Him. Isn't that incredible that the Holy Spirit, God has set this whole thing up that is part of His nature, that He would have a helper that would come knocking on your door and say, now you know you don't need to be looking at that. You've got too much going in your life for you to go down that road. You don't need to be drinking that. You know once you do, this is going to start a pattern. Come on. That's the Holy Spirit. Oh, you probably ought to change that. Your spouse wouldn't like that you watched that. You know you don't want to become that. But this is what I'm talking about. That is the Holy Spirit helping you out. You ever said that before? Help a brother out. God's like, I am. I sent the Holy Spirit to help you. So He's a helper. He leads us. guides us into God's purpose, leads us right into the plans that God has for us, gives us wisdom to make good, godly decisions. That's the Holy Spirit. That's just one part. So he's our helper. Here's the second thing. He's our power. Because it's one thing to have power. I mean, it's one thing to have help, but you still got to do it. Like, if I called you and said, hey, come help me do some projects at my house. I'm glad you came. But we need some energy to get it done. We need some power, some manpower, some horsepower to actually do it. And so the Holy Spirit is the power of God that comes into our life, that activates us even to do the things that we don't even feel like doing. You ever didn't feel like it? Holy Spirit, his power is on the scene. He motivates. He inspires. So watch this, Acts 1:8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And then watch this. This is the continuance of it. And you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere. It's an effect of the Holy Spirit in your life that this thing is so incredible that you can't just keep it to yourself. It's like a guy that gets a new truck and he knows it's like a good truck, powerful truck. He shows people. He can't stop telling. We were talking about trucks up here this morning when we were setting up. And it's powerful, and you have to talk about the power of it. You get a new flat screen, the new wall TV. Y'all saw it? Y'all saw that? It's coming out. Samsung's doing a wall TV. The whole wall. Just in time for the Super Bowl. Or you can watch that Bird Box thing where people ain't looking where they're going. Heard about the lady in Utah? Tried it while she was driving. God help us. Holy Spirit, you need to be the helper in that lady's life. It's powerful, though. When it's powerful, guess what? We talk about it. When it's powerful in your life, you talk about it. When God's presence is powerful in your life, you begin to talk about it. So watch this. The Holy Spirit gives us power, first of all, to overcome sin. To say no to sin and continually say yes to God. It helps us to overcome the temptation. Okay? The verse we read earlier, evil spirit leaves, but comes back. When it comes back, it is no match for the power of God. That's the Holy Spirit in our lives. And so if we're filling our lives with the Holy Spirit, we have the power to overcome those things so that we can move forward. A lot of people have been stuck, but God wants you to move forward. How are we going to do it? It's going to take the Holy Spirit to be led by the Spirit, but also to be empowered by the Holy Spirit, okay? So the Holy Spirit gives us the power. He gives us the boldness to overcome fear. He is with me. He is in me. I will not be shaken. He helps me to walk in the victory and the authority that we have in Christ. This is who the Holy Spirit is. He empowers me with spiritual gifts that aren't just helping me, but it's benefiting others. Others as well. He's more than enough. This is the effect of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Aren't you thankful now you're seeing all this? It's like, Jesus, you're doing a good job here. Good job, Jesus. He wants to help us. My question is this. With everything that you're emptying in your life from this fast, what are you going to fill it with? I know. Like, some of us can't wait for the 21 days to be over so that we can put all that stuff right back in. But what if we put something so incredible in our lives that maybe we realize some of that stuff we didn't even need? Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, he gives us power. Here's the last thing. The Holy Spirit, he gives us purpose. He gives us purpose. Second part of Acts 1:8 says, you'll be my witnesses. Holy Spirit empowers us to be the light of the world so that others can see him. You know, God didn't need us. That sounds so rude. But God didn't need us to accomplish all of this. But he chose us. And all of our weakness and all of our struggle, he chose us. And all of the chaos that's going on in our lives, a lot of times we go ahead and put the sign on the door, unworthy, unavailable. God, you're probably better off talking to somebody else. And God would say, I want you. It blows my mind that God would call people to stand in front of a group of people to tell them about him, knowing that that person that stands in front of them isn't perfect. It amazes me. Trust me. I do it every week. And y'all keep coming. I'm honored. I'm honored. And I mean that sincerely. And to know that God would take people like you in an office, at a ball game, at a mom's day out, and in the course of a conversation, someone who's searching for needing help, and you didn't even know where it came from. You started talking to that person, and it was coming out faster than what you could think. And you said something that changed that person's life. That's the Holy Spirit. Those moments where you look and you try to figure out, God, why would you do that? Because I believe it shows the picture of who he is, and the grace he is, and the power he has at work in our lives. I believe it is the perfect illustration of his plan, of everything that he ever wanted for us. See, the Holy Spirit isn't meant just to be pushed to the side. The Holy Spirit is meant to be what our lives are full of every day. And the Holy Spirit, this is what I know about the Holy Spirit. Because a lot of people think, well, if you focus on the Holy Spirit, you'll forget about Jesus. Actually, if you focus on the Holy Spirit, he will continue to point you to Jesus. You to understand who Jesus is in ways you didn't know. He'll make the black and white writings come alive in full color. I believe the Holy Spirit sets up divine appointments with people in our lives so that we can just simply share what God is doing in our life. I had a divine interruption this week. I went into a store. I was just looking at a camera. Guy walks over and begins to ask me questions. What I was looking for, and why was I looking at it? He said, well, we have a church, and I'd like to get a few more things out there to the people. He said, really, what do you do at the church? That's a loaded question, by the way. Some people, I wouldn't even tell them I'm a pastor because they would run. And I told this guy I'm a pastor. So we continued on in the conversation. Tell me all about this camera. It's about to leave. He said, can I ask you a question? He just had a door that closed. He asked me, do you believe God closes doors? I said, yeah. He said, you believe God opens doors? I said, yeah. Is it possible that God didn't let me get this job that I really, really wanted? Maybe. And I said this is terrible, by the way. I said, maybe the other guy was better. That is awful, am I right? Aren't you so ashamed of your pastor right now? I'm serious. I said that, and I was like, that was not the Holy Spirit. That was really, really ridiculous. And then he said this. He said, or maybe God's trying to redirect me. It's a pretty cool moment. I thought that was it. I'm walking out. Get to my truck. I'm leaving. In fact, the guy offered to walk me out of the store. It's crazy. I get in my truck to leave. I'm driving off. The Lord spoke to me. No angels. Just, why didn't you invite him to church? Ding dong. All right? I thought I may never see this guy again. I don't know. Turned around and went back. He was meeting with somebody else, so I just stood by the big screen TVs, the wall TV. He saw me. Finished with that customer, he walked over. He's like, do you have any more questions? Man, I felt like I needed to come back. I said, I didn't even invite you to my church. I like I tell my church people all the time, invite, here I am. I'm dropping the ball. I'm sorry. I told Matt, I'm sorry. I want to invite you to our church. Struck up a whole conversation. Found out that he was from Lafayette, Louisiana, down the road from me. Started finding out we had people in common. It's crazy how God does that kind of stuff. I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit wants to use you. So this is what I want to do. First of all, I feel strongly that we should pray for those who are away from God this morning. I need to come to Jesus. But also, I want to pray for people to be filled with the Holy Spirit. But this is what, and I wrestled with this week. I really did. Like, how do I want to do this? But if you know you need the Holy Spirit to fill your life, I want to ask you to come to our Wednesday night prayer meeting. I'm telling you, I wrestled with this because I wanted to do it today. And that clock back there says 4:07. And people have been on me about my time. Children's people. And I love it. I got to do better. I know. But Wednesday night, I want to pray for you. You need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Because I want you to chew on this. This message is going to be up on our podcast tomorrow. I'm going to encourage you to go back and listen to it again. Because I'm not just talking about a flashy service right here where we pray for you and you feel good. But never ever have the Holy Spirit at work in your life. I'm talking about a lifestyle being led and being filled with the Holy Spirit. And I want you to come out Wednesday night and we're going to pray for you. I'm talking about one-on-one pray with you to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Because I believe this is the beginning. Like I said, consecrate yourselves because God's about to do some amazing things in your life. And maybe you have a lot of thoughts about the Holy Spirit and a lot of, watch this, church baggage about the Holy Spirit. Is it worth holding on to a bunch of people's opinion and missing out on the promise of God? Come on. This Wednesday night, I invite you to come out, 6:30 p.m. We're going to be at Go-To Church in North Monroe, right next to Red Lobster. Some of you will be like, I got filled with the Holy Spirit next to Red Lobster. It's awesome. Maybe you have questions. I want you to come with your questions. Because I know one of the questions, I thought you were filled with the Holy Spirit when you got saved. I know. And I'll be more than glad to talk with you about that, not argue with you. Because here's my thing. Whatever we got to do to get the Holy Spirit in our lives, let's do it. Amen? If that means an extra prayer, let's pray it. Come on. I'm not trying to set up some kind of formula. I just want the Holy Spirit in our lives. Amen? But I'm going to pray for you today. If you're away from God, I want to ask everyone to bow their heads, close their eyes, because this is a sovereign moment. And today we talked about sin. And I said this, sin has turned you into who you're not supposed to be. In a crowd this size, there's all kinds of people. There's religious people. There's people who are far from God. There are people who are on fire for God. But if you're here today and you say, Pastor, I am away from God. I'm running. And today, I can't run anymore. I need to surrender my life completely to Jesus. Allow him to forgive my sins. Become my Savior, my Lord, my leader. You know today it's time to surrender your life to Jesus and live the life that he's created for you to live. And without hesitation, you know it. I want you to lift your hand and say, will you pray for me? You say, I'm away from God. This is a clear call today. You've been running. You've been participating in things. You've been running right through the red lights. You've been running right through the conviction of the Holy Spirit. And today the Lord is saying it's time to come home. It's time to surrender. Anyone else, you can put your hand out. I've seen the hands. Anyone else, it's time to surrender to the Lord. It's time. And the most beautiful moments in our church is things that happen right here. It's when we pray this prayer right here together. How many people I've seen through the years pray this exact prayer right here and their whole life started to change. Their whole lives were turned around. So many people sitting in this room. I'll never forget seeing your connection card. And now I see your face and I see your family and I see where you're at today. And I'm so glad that you made that decision. Every Sunday we pray this prayer together. It never gets old. It never becomes ritual. It's just so powerful. And it's a family prayer that we pray together. It's a family prayer that we pray together. And maybe you're a guest here today. Listen, if you're a guest in our house, you're family now. We love having you here. And we want to invite you into the family of God. And we're going to pray this prayer and ask God. to him. And I believe this can be a new beginning for you. But this time, instead of following the same old ways, it's following Jesus. Will you pray this prayer? Say, Dear Lord, thank you for loving me and for paying the ultimate price by taking the punishment for my sin. I didn't deserve it, but you're so graceful and you've shown me so much mercy that you took my place, and I'm forever grateful. So today, I choose to put my faith in you, and right now, I acknowledge that you are my Lord and Savior, and I surrender my life completely to you, and I choose this day to follow you. I will live my life your way. Lord, help me to grow, to be the man, the woman that you